This hour is brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your own home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app and up on TSN 4. Brian Hayes, the O-Duck, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. More lively opening in the 5 p.m. hour. We started at 4 with Hollow Darkness, My Old Friend.
The Sounds of Silence by
Simon and Garfunkel.
Yeah, Simon and Garfunkel. Drew a blank
there. Yeah, it was ugly. Right. And we're just talking about that Jeopardy show, like the greatest of all time show that's going to be airing in January. And you threw out the idea that maybe we should look towards having, you know, our own little goat version of Overdrive. And I want to give a shout out here. I know it's off the top of the hour, and we'll touch on the Leafs in a second here. But Jason Cool on Twitter,
yes,
is an OG because
what does OG mean?
Original gangster?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Or gangsta.
Don't ever say that on the show
again. Or gangsta, depending, depending on if you're an OG.
Like, yeah.
I thought OG meant like something normal.
It means Ananobi. It's OG Ananobi.
Yeah.
That's what it means.
Right? Don't ever say that again. I thought that was like original gangster.
Original Gucci?
No, I was just thinking of something equally as ridiculous that you could say in addition to OG.
If it's original gangster, I'm not ever. We're not ever.
How do you not know that? Like, where have you? What
I've
rock
always
have
heard
you been
people say
under?
You're the OG. I thought that was like you're the original with the O and the G capitalized.
I see.
Yeah,
okay.
Original. Well, that's fair.
But original. We're not.
No,
doing
it means
that.
Original gangster or
no,
gangsta.
It does.
I said. Yes, it does.
I believe it does.
Well, Jason Cool is an OG. All right, because he quickly threw this out. Blue Lunch, Leafs Lunch, Overdrive, Brian Hayes Show, throwback.
Wow.
And he reminded me, I forgot about this. I interviewed Megan Fox at one point.
What? I do remember
that. Do you remember that?
Yes.
And it was a spectacular interview. We had chemistry immediately.
Oh, stop it.
I'm serious. Brian Austin Green was listening on the line. He was furious. He's I thought he was going to jump in like a PR department.
Is this Ryan?
Don't get me started. That didn't make the top five.
Yeah.
But I forgot about that. Ryan Lochte.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Right.
Do you remember we had him? I think
that
I
was before the dust up in Brazil.
Yeah, he had.
Because I don't
incident.
Think he's doing too many interviews anymore.
He had an incident at a gas station, right?
Well, it was fake news.
That's
remember,
crazy.
He claimed that he got like jumped or beat up, and it turns out he was just being a belligerent.
Yeah,
he's
being a jackass.
D-bag, effectively.
Yeah, the minute that the cameras came out, they're like, yeah, this guy didn't get jumped.
Steph is emailing in claiming that Megan Fox hung up on me. I don't remember
that's fair.
That.
Yeah, it sounds
she
about
did.
Right.
I heard it live. I swear to God.
You're
hung up on you.
You're a liar, dude. You're lying, and that's uncalled for.
It's because of the
I had more
comment.
Respect for you.
I heard the interview, and she hung up on you because you said something stupid.
No, we
go
didn't.
Back and try to find the
we
tape.
We got to find the
see
tape.
See if you can find the tape.
Because if we can do a replay at 6 p.m. sometime.
No. There's stuff that
she hung up because you were an idiot, and
did
she's
you,
like, why am I
her,
doing this?
Did you give her the Brucey Boudreaux?
I might have. I probably stopped paying attention.
Hello.
You know what it was? It was when the Leafs were a tire fire. My head was probably spinning. I'm talking to Megan Fox, and all I can think of is, you know, Randy Carlyle can't figure the power play out or whatever.
I used to listen to you all the time when we would drive home because we were done like after 2 hours, and then you'd do your stupid show. I think you interviewed Larry King one time.
Yeah, I did have Larry King on. I had some
you
great
had
guests.
Some great guests.
Megan Fox, Brett Favre, Larry King,
Grappler,
Steve Sciarippa. Who is...
that's not a guest. Bobby, never heard the name.
Bobby Bacala from The Sopranos. You're Bobby Bacala. We've called you that before.
Yeah, I remember that.
You are Bobby Bacala.
Bobby Bacala is not a guest.
He used to wear turtlenecks in The Sopranos. He did. At the end of the final season, remember him in a turtleneck at the funeral? And you got the turtleneck on again? You are Bobby Bacala.
I love it.
Anyway.
You've
Pierre
had some
LeBron.
Great guests. So we actually should go back through
we'll look
the
into
years.
It.
Not just like Ass Face and Strutty and Prana,
although those are
those
like
guys.
The true, those are the guys we love the most. Our buddies,
yeah, those guys are good.
Our recurring guests, Tucker and Dougie
Tux,
Gilmore,
Dougie G,
Wendell,
yeah,
those Chris are, Pronger, guys like that.
I get it, but like one-offs, we've had some pretty good ones.
You actually have the audio of Megan Fox,
come on.
Allegedly hanging up on me.
Let's fire this up.
Thanks so much for taking some time for us today. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Megan.
All right, so this is false pretenses. That was a pre-tape.
I heard that.
we played it afterwards because if you listen to my voice,
play
I sound
it again,
like a
and
creep.
You tell us what you think. Right?
I've got the sultry voice going.
Yes, you do.
Thanks so much for taking some time for us today. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Megan.
By the way, that's the horniest I've ever heard your voice. You were like, thank you.
I was sending a vibe out.
You were.
I was sending a vibe out.
You got fired up.
She sent a little, like, listen to the way she says thank you.
This, thank like, you. Thank like, you.
Like she couldn't get off the phone.
Thanks,
fast
Megan.
Enough.
Like she was. That's a restraining order for
was,
radio.
She was holding the phone away from her for her face.
Right.
Like, thank you.
She threw that phone right in the ocean. Right afterwards. All right, Pierre LeBrun, Hockey Insider, in a moment. If you can believe it, we spent the 4 p.m. hour just yelling and screaming about the Maple Leafs.
Yeah.
And we're going to continue to do that because they're 9-9-4. They're on pace to obviously miss the playoffs. Right. The luxury that they have is they have 60 games, and it's only mid-November. But last week, we looked towards this 9-game stretch, 7-9 on the road, 8-9 against playoff teams,
right,
starting last Wednesday against the Islanders. Islanders, Boston, Pittsburgh, 0-3. Saturday night was an absolute debacle.
Yeah.
And now Vegas tomorrow night coming off a heater last night where they laid a beating on Calgary.
Yeah.
At Arizona Thursday, at Colorado on Saturday. It's not going to get much easier.
No, Colorado's
and it's ugly
up.
Right
You're
now.
Right, but that's the thing. Like, Vegas is coming off a heater last night, but they've been up and down. Arizona's a really moldy team, and I mean that respectfully. Like, they just are in every game. They chip away. They don't give you an inch. And then Colorado, that Nate McKinnon is as good as anybody.
He's not bad.
He's ridiculous.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
They're nicked up and their goaltending's banged up.
Here's Pierre LeBrun, our TSN Hockey Insider. Is it feeling nostalgic in Toronto for you, Pierre? Like, this is kind of 04, 05-ish for you or what?
It's not 18-wheeler yet, is it? I could tell from your tweets over the weekend you think it is, Brian. But
yeah, I'm losing my mind a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's not good. I mean,
it's feeling nostalgic because I'm literally standing on the red carpet at the Hockey Hall of Fame right now. That's why it's feeling nostalgic. But
okay.
No, it's you know, I don't very often wade into this Leafs thing myself, but I tweeted Saturday night they look like a mess.
Yeah.
And that's not good. I will say for those asking, I mean, I don't know that anyone has a button on a trigger right now. I think the sense right now in the organization is to just, you know, persevere and get through this right now. But having said that, you know, at some point this season, if this doesn't turn around, it does obviously make you wonder. And the one thing that I found interesting and, you know, judging on social media guys, and I don't know if you guys picked up on this too, is that clearly, Mike Babcock is the target of a lot of the criticism, but it's the first time that I can remember since Kyle Dubas has been named GM that he got thrown into a lot of it, too, over the weekend in terms of the level of angst from Leafs fans. And, I mean, listen, I do think it should be just more than just Mike Babcock. I think the core players on his team have to be asked tough questions, the coaching staff and the GM. You know, they have fumbled the backup goalie situation so far. They made a lot of changes, in particular to their blue line, and they're not a very good defensive team. And at times, they don't look like a team that has a lot of pushback when the game gets physical. So, listen, all these things can change over time. And, in fact, sometimes you go through this kind of adversity, and if you're able to get out on the other side of it, you're better than ever for it. And that's still an option for them as well.
Pierre, I know it's you're probably not going to get a lot out of Leafland, but you know our managers, like right around now when you're at the 20-game mark, teams are starting to realize what they have. Do you sense maybe a little bit more chatter and trade talk or at least some motion? I know certain players have been put on waivers. Corey Schneider got put on waivers. But mm-hmm. Ultimately, are you sensing any maybe increased chatter as we head towards that new U.S. Thanksgiving?
Yeah, I do sense some increased chatter, Noodles. I think the difficult thing is that if you go up on Cap Friendly and look at the number of teams that have about 25 cents to spare, it makes it a lot more difficult. I mean, this is one of the worst years I can remember for teams that are in LTIR or right at the cap, which really ties your hands. And I will tell you something else that a GM told me earlier this year. Now, I don't know if this particular GM is going to live up to this sentiment, but one of the things that he said to me is he's usually a guy that after U.S. Thanksgiving wants to make a move or two, but that the Blues doing what they did last year, he was going to promise himself to be more patient than he's been before with his group. And I think that's easier said than done, depending on which market you're in, but that is an interesting thing. And the reason I bring that up, you guys mentioned Vegas. You know, I'll tell you right now, the coaching staff and management in Vegas haven't been terribly happy with their season. I mean, they feel that their team has been quite inconsistent. And last night was really the first great game they've played in a while. And Nashville started out gangbusters in October. Look at where Nashville is right now. They're tied with San Jose, the team that we all buried a month ago. That team's won six in a row. My point is, more than ever, this league is everyone's tied. And so you think things are bad right now in Toronto, and they are. But in terms of falling behind or teams that are playing well being that far ahead, it just isn't the case. Like, there's just a whole lot of everyone hanging around the same area. And because of that, I think it does give you pause for thought before you start making big changes.
With Pierre LeBrun, our hockey insider, what are you hearing on Tyson Barrie, his camp, how he feels about his situation in Toronto?
I haven't heard a whole lot, to be honest, Brian. I mean, the thing I would say about that is that if you're Tyson Barrie, I can't imagine that you probably think this is a great fit. If for no other reason than, if I'm a team that has Tyson Barrie, I look at Tyson Barrie and I say this, what is the best thing he does? I'm pretty sure it's quarterbacking a power play. I think you guys would agree. That just hasn't been there for him for the most part. Because Morgan Riley's excellent at doing that too. And, you know, why do you think Colorado traded Tyson Barrie?
Kale McCarr
has come on the scene, yeah. So the one thing I would say about, you know, his acquisition and his usage is that it surprised me a bit that, I mean, if I were the Leafs, I would have done this a couple of weeks ago, and I know I'm getting into coaching here, which I shouldn't do, but, you know, Morgan Riley gets used in every situation imaginable, and I think that would be a way to dole his minutes back and do some load management to hand over the reins to the power play to Barrie and keep Morgan Riley for all the other situations. I know that's hard to do, eh? Because Morgan Riley was unbelievable doing it last year. And it's something that obviously he likes doing. I mean, what player doesn't like to pick up his points? But that is one thing that I have found interesting so far this year. If you're going to trade for a guy like Tyson Barrie, I think you have to use him in a position where you know he can succeed. And to me, part of that is what he did for many years in Colorado, which is quarterbacking the first power play.
You're down at the Hall of Fame, and every year is special. Every year the inductees go in and they get their moment, if not moments, in the spotlight. But this has felt unique because it's been Haley Wickenheiser's weekend, mm-hmm. Which I think is very deserved, clearly. How cool has that been, and what's the vibe like down there?
It's frenetic. You know, everyone's starting to come in, and you're seeing people that you haven't seen in a while, and you're bang on at Haley Wickenheiser. It's funny, my 10-year-old daughter plays hockey, and she said she had forgotten who this year's class was, and she said to me this weekend, and as I said, I was working Monday night at the Hall, and she said, well, who's the headliner this year? I said, Haley Wickenheiser. And when you saw the face on her, it spoke so much to the impact that a weekend like this has for so many, girls playing hockey, but frankly, boys and girls playing hockey in terms of the impact that Haley Wickenheiser has had on our country in the game. And I do think it's terrific. And listen, this is not a disrespect to Sergei Zubov and Keith Carboneau and Vaclav Nedelmansky. It's just the fact that the headliner is Haley Wickenheiser this year, and I think it's an amazing thing for all kinds of reasons.
Enjoy it down there, buddy. We'll do it again soon.
Salut, mon ami.
All right, go Cowboys.
Pierre LeBrun, our hockey insider. Cowboys with a win. Dak Prescott getting a lot of MVP love.
What? Really?
Yeah, he is. He's not going to win it. It's going to be Lamar Jackson or Russell Wilson. Like Jackson.
Lamar Jackson is so good.
He is a top 10 running back in the league based on his numbers. Like, you look at his
imagine all those teams passing up on. What did he go? Was he a second round pick?
No, I think he went 32nd. He either went 31st or 32nd. Pittsburgh or Baltimore moved back into the first round to get him.
And good on Baltimore to say, you know what, this is just such a talent, we have to take him.
He's a stud.
It's incredible.
He's an absolute, like, stud.
He's a machine.
Yeah, he is. Right.
He's Michael Vick on steroids. Think about that.
Yeah. I mean, it's ultimately, can he stay healthy?
Right.
So protection, smarts, but he's such a bigger guy. Like, people, you know, you use the RG3 comparison of a young guy who could get out of the pocket and run. RG3's not that big.
Right.
Like, Jackson is a machine. He's a big boy. And he's putting up spectacular numbers, and Baltimore laid a beating on Houston. And listen, New England won again yesterday, so they're 9-1, I believe, but Baltimore's right there with them. Kansas City in action tonight. If they get a win, they're going to put themselves back in that conversation.
Right.
You know, there's three or four teams in the AFC, three or four teams in the NFC. But, Dak Prescott, like, because Zeke has not been overly special. He's just been okay.
He's not really having a whole lot of wow moments.
No, he hasn't had any.
Yeah, it's like he gets that short yardage, and it's like, okay, there's Zeke. I mean, the odd catch where you're like, okay, that's impressive, but...
No burst. I don't know if he's run off any rushes more than 20 yards this year. So, you know, Dak Prescott's putting up like 400 yards multiple times, touchdowns, right, coming from behind. So he deserves a lot of love. He's played well. But anyway, I was just looking at this Babcock quote, because we played the quote earlier, the clip where he's like, I'm going to bet on Mike Babcock. I always have. I always will. Which is what you would expect him to say. But he also said, you know, asked about his job security in Toronto. Babcock said, quote, I'm in a pretty good spot in my life. If my kids were young, I'd never coach in Toronto. So in my spot, I don't spend a whole lot of time listening. I've always bet on Mike Babcock, and I will continue to bet on him. That almost feels like a... Is it double entendre? Is that what they call it? Where it's like, you don't want Sheldon Keefe, who's got a young family, a young guy, to coach in Toronto. Like, do you think that was a subliminal message? Like, hey, you might not want to get rid of me, who's stable and I'm good and I'm going to keep doing my thing.
It's just a jackass comment.
No, I think he's just more saying that.
I don't think that's not the problem.
Dude, that's just like Mike Babcock being
Mike
Babcock.
It's a Babcock-ism for sure.
That's it.
I don't take it.
But
like
he knows who's coming.
But I know. But I don't think that he's saying, I'm worried about Sheldon Keefe's family and all that. I think he's saying that if he had a younger family, those kids going to school and that is quite noisy, right? And I would be more concerned what comes home, or I'd have to talk to my kids and that.
I get it.
But I don't think that's...
I don't believe
it. He knew exactly what he was doing.
I don't believe it. I think he would take the job in Toronto in a heartbeat if he was 35 years old and they offered him... He wasn't going to say, no, I'm going to pass on that. There's no way. It's revisionist history. I'm just saying, is there kind of a backdoor message to management?
Right.
Hey... Toronto is a young guy with a young family, man. That's not what I would set up.
Wow. Dude, I told you, there's five people down there at that building that like him, and that doesn't matter. But he's got to find a way to get these players to win games. That's all that matters.
Yeah,
Nobody likes the guy, but he has to find a way to win games, bottom line.
Yeah, right, but
I'm sure he knows that too.
But
he's not an idiot.
The consideration on who is going in next is a part of this. You don't just rip the Band-Aid off and then say, all right, what are we going to do now?
Right, right.
Like, you consider who's going in next. And if it is Sheldon Keefe, and they have not made that announcement,
right,
we just assume that it will be based on his relationship with Dubas and how they've been grooming him. But you have to consider that.
Right.
Is he ready for it? Can he step in right now and save the season? Because that is what is going to be expected. If you were to let go Mike Babcock between now and mid-December, that guy's not going to get a 50-game, hey, just go out and figure it out, and we'll figure it out next year.
Right.
It'll be, you better start winning tonight.
Right.
Like, that's a lot of pressure, man.
It is a lot of pressure. But I would be, I know everyone thinks Sheldon Keefe, but, like, what, is it guaranteed that he'd step in and do a better job? Like, that's why I'm not convinced. Like, Sheldon Keefe... Success at the AHL level with a team where you can have a $12 million payroll against other organizations that are $3 million, it's a lot different. The NHL, everyone's on the same page with the salary cap. Yeah, it seems like he's a good coach. He's never coached an NHL game.
Right.
Never. So there's no guarantee that if he took the reins, yeah, I think he would be have a different look, as every coach has a different look, and you would get the initial, like Pooley said, the initial bump up of the coach, you know, changing in coaches. But this roster, maybe it's suited more for a Keefe coach team than a Babcock team.
I got to be honest with you guys. I'm just beside myself that we're even in this position having this conversation at this particular time of the year. I thought it was going to be like, well, let's get to the playoffs, see what they can do. I had no idea this was around the corner. I had none.
Nobody did. And that's why the reaction is as fiery and emotional and just vitriolic.
Yeah, like if you told me
unbalanced. I mean, there's a million different terms
that we were going to have this conversation in November, I would have said you're high.
It was always a throwaway. What we always said was Babcock will be under the spotlight in April unless it's a catastrophe. Yeah. But no one believed that that was going to happen. And this is not a full-blown catastrophe.
No,
I mean, we need to remember the market that we live in.
That's
seen
They're 9-9.
Right. No. But they have not played well. No. I mean, that's the reality.
If it continues to go this way, they're out. They're done.
Yeah, obviously. I mean, that's where they're trending. Like, they are clearly trending. You can come up with a million stats and a million things that suggest this team has drastically underperformed.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe were the expectations too high? I mean, that could be the case. Like, Noodles, you've talked about the bottom end guys. Now, I think part of it is injuries right now. You take Marner, Kerfoot, Moore out. But you've got some guys in the lineup where you're like, that's a borderline NHL player.
Doesn't scare people. That's because I always say that the bottom of the roster a lot of times is interchangeable between really good AHL players can come up and NHL players can go down. It's the teams that have the depth. Like when I looked at the Boston Bruins in the playoffs last year, Sean Corrali, Nola Chari, they were difference makers.
Right.
Technically on the fourth line. But they went out, they scored goals, they crashed and banged, they played good playoff hockey. When I look at the New York Islanders, that fourth line, technically on paper with Matt Martin involved,
Cizikas
and Clutterbuck. Like, those aren't just schmoes. That's not AHL.
Those are pros.
Those are really good players. Like, they're good players. They're not elite, but they can score. They can give you penalty kill minutes.
But those teams have the cap to do it.
That's right. They're not paying. I think the highest paid guy on the Islanders is $7
million. Anders Lee, who just signed it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And now, again, it's a different roster construction. We've said this all along. The way Kyle has built his team, it's very top-heavy financially between four guys. Now, you've got some value contracts in Freddie and Morgan. So, you know, you can lump those guys in if you're going to add up the money, because those are value contracts based on their production and their importance to the organization.
Mm-hmm.
But outside of that, because if you did a whiteboard, I do rosters every night looking at teams because I'm studying them. You cover up the star players, and then you look at the depth guys. A lot of them are interchangeable.
Right.
That's where Kapanen comes in. That's where Janssen, who scored 20, comes in. That you look at the depth. And if they're not producing or playing up to their potential, like you said, Brian, I think it was Friday or Thursday, how many guys on this team have actually played up to what we expect them to do? Not through the roof and having amazing seasons, but having good season.
Yeah, not many.
Not many.
Not many.
Can you guys do me a favor?
Sure.
A one quick game, all-encompassing Maple Leafs level of concern. Quickly.
Do you want to come back and do that?
Yeah, let's come back.
Let it breathe. Let us think about it.
But you promised me we'll do it.
We will hit level of concern.
Because I saw a pic.
I found one, man. I was digging on Google Images.
And you got to be honest, it's just simply your level of concern.
We'll touch on that next.
You can never, never ask me to stop drinking. Do you understand?
I do. I really do. Bourbon,
what's that? All right, so don't ever tell us we don't listen to the fans, because there were a lot of people that were sending us tweets and texts and emails all weekend demanding a level of concern. demanding it.
Yes.
Sliding into the DMs on Instagram, on Twitter. Al's brother even mentioned it today.
Really?
Yeah. That's how significant
this
push was.
Off.
He said, enough of the Monday night football garbage. Yeah. I need a level of concern. So this is the way it works.
Al's brother's been sending us some dumb tweets recently.
I think he's actually been great.
Really?
No, yeah. There's been some stupid ones. Anyway, this is how this game works. And this is just for the Maple Leafs.
Yeah, but we're going to round table this. If you
oh, so we're doing a full?
I guess. I mean, we're doing this
might
on the fly.
Well,
we haven't put a lot of thought into it. So the three options are...
Here is number one on the list for level of concern. And the three options are...
A pint on the patio, which means you have no
You're
concern.
Casual. You
Everything's
know what? You have a little bit of anxiousness. You want to chill out on the patio.
If you're a New England Patriots fan, you're having a pint on the patio. Right.
Barely.
Barely. You might be drinking water.
Might be a Pinot. Right.
It could be. 12-pack, which is pretty extensive, but still.
It goes from 0 to 100 rather
pretty
quickly.
But still. Right. For all intents and purposes, we'll say 12-pack.
Yeah.
That's middling concern.
Yes.
That's like, you know what, we got some problems here potentially.
There's a little bit of a fight.
And the last one is our favorite one. It's Nick Cage in Vegas.
You can never, never ask me to stop drinking.
All right. So
okay.
That's a lot of panic. That's a lot of concern. That's a level of concern we wish...
Yeah.
Upon nobody. Not even our worst enemy.
Leafs making the playoffs. Where are you at?
I'm a 12-pack.
Yeah.
Right in the middle.
I am a 12-pack, and it is not a Bud Light. It's a Guinness or like a...
Like a heavy
like
beer?
Like a tough one.
I'm a 12-pack.
Like a Molson Golden.
Something that they don't sell anymore.
We're a quarter of the way in the season.
Yeah. It's been ugly.
It hasn't been great. You know, there's still... Right in the mix, though.
I'm the same, man. I'm a solid 12-pack.
I'm not level of concern. Nick Cage going
no,
nuts,
no,
and
no.
I'm not a
that
I'm
would
not
be
a
silly.
Pint on the patio.
That
I'm
would
just,
be silly.
I'm right in the middle because the next 20 games will be very interesting. Put it that way.
You're going Nick Cage.
No, I'm not. I will say a 12-pack. A month and a half ago, I was a pint on the patio.
Yeah.
And
like we all were.
You know, during the second period on Saturday night, I was Nick Caging it pretty significantly. But you let it breathe. You get a couple of off days. You know, the boys are in Vegas.
Right.
I kind of hope that they floored it and really said, you know what, we got to do something here and do something different.
Right.
I'm not sure if they did or not.
This is why I'll never be a coach. If I was the coach, I would say, I will see you guys at 4:30 p.m. on game day on Tuesday, I hope you're ready to play.
Mm-hmm. Meet me outside for the bus at 4:30. Between now and then, I don't want to see you.
I don't want to see you. You do whatever you want. But whatever you're doing, keep in mind that on Tuesday night, it is go time, and I expect everyone's best game. I don't want to see you till then.
Right.
Level of
Floor
concern.
It.
Level of concern. Tyson Berry's agent. What is his level of concern waiting for a big contract on July 1st?
You can never, never ask me to stop drinking.
I don't see how it's not Nick Cage. Like, I don't know who his agent is, but...
are you...
We don't have to play it every
play
single
it again.
Time. We don't have to play it every single time. It's a long clip.
Yeah.
You're telling me you're
I'm
not Nick Cage?
I'm a 12-pack, because it's only 22 games, and there's lots of... To me,
by the way, is there anything above
size.
Nick Cage? Like, what is
Texas Mickey Cage? I don't know.
No, Nick Cage.
What I'm saying is, there's lots of sample size, and a guy can have a tough 6 weeks. So, you know, if it's right today, yeah, I'm concerned. But I know what Tyson Berry's capable of. He's a 50 to 60 point defenseman if he's played in the right situation. So, believe me, if he was available. Maybe it's pennies on the dollar, but there's a lot of teams that would love to have that because they may not have another guy like Morgan Rielly sitting there. So I'm a 12-pack on that.
Yeah, I just think he was looking at this thinking, this is the biggest payday of my career. Like,
yeah.
Pay dirt. Wait, and he might still get it. He
I
might.
I think he might still. Yeah.
But we said that, you know, the free agency game, it's very fickle. Like, Jake Gardner had to wait until, like, 2 days before camp started.
Yeah, and Tyler Myers.
I love the Jake Gardner fans, too. No, I think we should have Jake Gardner back.
Well, yeah, he's not the answer. Gardner's he had to move on. He moved on. But yep. You're right. I mean, listen, he can change everything. He's got 60 games to figure that out.
Plenty of time, but
right now, the money isn't waiting for him.
It's not looking great, but ultimately, they're even in an offseason, guys still get paid because they know what they're capable of. And I think Tyson Berry, throughout his career, if you take a look at what he's been able to do, this may be the outlier.
Level of concern, if you're a Calgary Flames fan right now, that they will snap out of it, because they are the Leafs of the West. They're 10-10-3. They've lost four in a row. They got players freaking out. Matthew Tkachuk went crazy last night.
Yeah. I'm a 12-pack.
Hasn't been so good for them in Calgary.
I'm just like the Leafs.
Yeah?
I'm a 12-pack.
I think that's reasonable.
I'm not Nick Cage yet, but I'm not pint on the patio. I was pint on the patio heading into the season, but you know they've had some adversity. Like TJ Brody, that's a scary situation. That's a guy who plays with Giordano. Like that could have rippled through the dressing room. But even before that, they've had a lot of inconsistency. And it comes down to it, you can't yell and scream about players farther down in the roster. It's always your top players.
That's it. If you're asked me,
really? You never.
He just likes hearing
it. Never. Ask me to stop drinking.
You're abusing the clip.
Yeah.
Show respect to the clip.
No, I respect the clip.
Okay, explain yourself then. Why would you be Nick Cage if you're a Flame fan?
I just wanted to hear the guy. I'm not gonna lie. They got to pick it up though.
Yeah.
It all goes back to their goaltender.
Yeah.
Like
they got to.
New Wave Save, or what do we call him?
New Wave Dave Riddick has not been great.
Big Save Dave.
Big Save Dave. Sorry. New Wave Dave is our other buddy.
That's our boy Dave McCarthy. New Wave Dave. Yeah, I'm a 12-pack as well. Like, they're a carbon copy. Both teams really played great last year during the regular season, flamed out in the playoffs. You know,
yep.
Calgary even more so than the Leafs. The Leafs were in it until Game 7, but they didn't get through. You know, drastic changes, this idea that you got to be different and a carryover coach and all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
And it just has not worked. Level of concern if you're Jonas Valanciunas and you did not receive a championship ring courtesy of the Raptors.
You can never, never ask me to stop drinking.
This goes against everything you've ever said.
No, it's
you said you would decline it if you were Valanciunas.
It's not even a pint. You're not
it's
even
a
drinking.
Dumb question. That's why I played it. You know you're not getting a ring. You didn't play in the team. Why would you ask such a dumb question?
Well,
you weren't on the team. And don't tell me about Nav the Superfan or who's the other guy?
Well, Drake.
Drake.
Who are not on the team.
Nav the Superfan is basically a part of the team.
Yes, he is. I love Nav the Superfan.
There's another guy with gray hair with a beard that sits on the other end of the court. He's at every game, too. He might get a ring, too.
The Tank Bed King?
No.
That guy's behind.
You know the guy I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
He will probably get a ring, too, and if he doesn't, he'll buy his own because he's just loaded.
Okay.
But he's at every game.
Well, Valanciunas has enough money. He could pay for his own as well if he wants.
Why would you want a ring? He didn't play for the
That's
team.
That's right. Like he wasn't
say, no.
on the team. It's a dumb.
It's a dumb.
It's like Nicolas Cage asked the question.
Yeah, sober. When he was dead sober.
No, creamed.
No, right.
Creamed out of his gourd.
No, when he drove into Vegas sober, that's when he would pose a question like this.
No, it was after him and Elizabeth Shue were hanging out.
You guys have not answered the question, though. You put on the old sports guy routine, like you wouldn't want it. It's sacrilegious. Why would you not want a valuable piece of jewelry for free? Like, be honest.
It's
like, what human being on earth would say no to that?
If Jimmy Rutherford called me and said, Jeff, I understand you weren't on the team this year, but we won the Stanley Cup. Would you like a ring? I would say, here's my address.
Thank you. Exactly.
But if that's not reality, you dummy. It's not reality.
It is reality. That's what I'm saying.
No, only happens in my dreams where he calls and says, would you like a ring? And I go,
okay,
I'd love one.
Yeah, I would accept a ring.
That's a dumb question.
Safe. I would never wear it. I would feel weird. I would say, why not give it to somebody who's deserving of it? Like, I actually.
You're not on the
team.
I'll
give you a prime example.
That.
I'm in the media.
Thank you.
We could have probably gone down to those Raptor games, right?
Mm-hmm. I was down there, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
I was up there in the gondola.
I wanted to go, but I remember saying to staff.
Two times. Like,
Two times.
I wanted to say, I said to Steph, I'm like, I'm not going, I'm not taking somebody else's spot who's been a diehard fan or diehard, been there every game, and I'm not going to float in there out of nowhere and go, I'm taking that spot.
But, dude, that's very gracious of you, but that's equally as unrealistic. Rory McIlroy was there. The dude's from Northern Ireland.
I know.
Should he have been handing out a seat to some super fan on the street? No. But I mean, Gretzky was there.
But what I'm saying is, I wouldn't feel like that's my... Why would I want that ring? Give it to somebody who actually deserves it.
Okay, that would be very charitable.
That's my point.
Maybe that's the move. You get it, you put it up for charity.
Sure. You give it to somebody who deserves it.
Okay.
Not me, because at that point...
I would suggest being a part of the regular season for the better part of 50 games means you were part of the journey at some point.
But in order for them to win... They actually had to ship your ass off the team.
That's very true. And it could be considered. I think that's why the Raptors didn't give it to them, because they would figure it would be patronizing.
It is patronizing.
There's an element of patronizing. Hey, even though we knew we had to get rid of you, and we're so happy we made that trade.
Exactly. And we do it again.
Yeah.
But here's a $30,000 consolation prize.
Here's a gesture of our appreciation for shipping your ass out of town.
Exactly. No way.
That's valid.
Yeah.
All right. Level of concern if you're Ken Jennings that James Holzhauer is going to lay a beating on you during Jeopardy's GOAT competition in early January.
Kenny Jennings is the GOAT. He's the Tom Brady. He's the Dougie Gilmore. And he is the king, and he will not be taken down.
I think he loses.
I think he gets smoked.
Yeah.
Ooh, Kenny Jennings?
Too cocky.
Jennings should be Nick Cage. I think he's a pine on a patio because I think he is too cocky.
Yeah.
Holzhauer is fresh. Jennings hasn't been in the muck for like 15 years.
Yeah.
Holzhauer was just in there recently.
I'm Holzhauer, I see Kenny Jennings come in the room and I say this.
You can never, never ask me to stop drinking.
You have to stop yelling.
No.
I'm going to jump over the table soon. You're yelling every third sentence.
No, I told you what pissed me off is the people that leave the ACC. I know they're bugging me.
Don't take it out on the microphone. Yeah, you're going to chew this mic off.
I don't even know who Holzhauer is, but when he sees Kenny Jennings, he will wall squat and deuce.
I guess there was a beer, Maximum Ice.
Was it like 15%?
It was 7.1.
It was awful.
It came in a black can. It was a Labatt product.
And you had six of them, and you were blackout.
Like that
Maximum Ice.
That difference between like a 2-2.5% over six beers is huge.
Oh, he's told you. Go to a game in Edmonton and have a draft beer.
Maybe that's all they serve is
you will
max
piss
ice.
Yourself after seven of them.
Seven.
Flat out four fall down. Four of them and you're face down on the ground.
In Calgary or Edmonton, either one of those heroin beer are just...
Yes.
I don't know what is in them. It's
flat
just
out piss your pants and fall down face first and it's game over after four beers.
Yeah.
That's not fun.
All right.
I'll just stick to the vodka there because at least you can see it.
You know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't really mess with vodka.
No, it's a 1 ounce pour and that's it. But those beer, you have no idea what's coming out of that.
Yeah, that's dangerous, man.
It's so dangerous.
It's like Russian roulette with booze.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, here we go.
Let's have
three or four beers.
Let's see where I wake up tomorrow. Yeah,
exactly.
Who knows? Go Oilers. We got to get James on the show. And Grappa, you got his email, right? James Holzhauer. So we'll see if we can do that before the greatest of all time week begins on Jeopardy.
It would be fun.
He's done the rounds on sports radio.
When is that show?
It's early January, and it's going to be sweet.
Before that, we have to get the nerds in here. Masters and Jonas. And see what they can bring to the table. But we can't even have like a Hall of Fame...
Well, they're not in that class. I mean,
no,
they've got
it's one on you.
Have they won one?
No, they haven't won anything.
So you've got to have different challengers.
Right. All right, well, we'll open it up to the public here at TSN, basically.
Right.
Maybe CTV. Maybe we take on, like...
No, Lisa LaFlamme would come in here and mop the floor with you guys.
Lisa LaFlamme.
Michelle Dubé.
And Michelle Dubé against me and you for trivia.
No, they would mop the floor with you guys.
I like that idea.
I do, too, and I think we have a chance.
First of all, they don't even know what this show is.
They have no idea that we work here.
Yeah. Like, no, they come they don't, in, like, no, they just do their thing and leave.
They would think that we were interns and they've given us an opportunity to put on a show.
Yeah, like we're Wayne's World. They would think we're Wayne's World.
There's no chance of getting them in here.
Shoot the note out just to see if we even get a response. It's worth the humor of the response.
He's going to get an emoji with the middle finger.
My fear is it gets directed up the chain and they say, don't ever bother those two again.
Like somebody sends a note back and says, Grappler, like you're out of your lane. Don't ever do that again.
Like imagine Lisa LaFlamme in here and I said, Brian Mulroney is the first president?
She'd scissor kick you.
President.
It's the Prime Minister.
Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, we have a pair of tickets to give away. Leafs Sabres, December 17th. Every day this week, we will provide the clue to the identity of a current or ex-Maple Leaf player. And on Friday, you will have a chance to call in and name that Leaf. Today's clue. This former Maple Leaf played in five different leagues over the course of his professional hockey career, including the Western Collegiate Hockey Association.
Western Collegiate Hockey Association?
I have never heard of that before. Noodles, you're from Western Canada. Have you ever heard of that?
No, we don't even know if it's in Canada.
Yeah, I guess you're right. It could be anywhere.
Western Collegiate
Hockey Association.
WCHA. No.
No idea.
Garrett Sparks. Yep.
Could be.
Look at him. It could be.
The Grappler's a happy man at this point.
Congrats to the Grappler. He actually, like...
We got to ask people, like, I know you think you're helping, but don't text Lisa LaFlamme. Don't send a tweet to Michelle Dubé.
Yeah, they're going to hate your guts.
Yeah.
Hate ours,
like,
too.
People are sending
them
tweets.
It's too late. They're already out there.
They're already being sent tweets saying that Hayes and the O-Dog challenge you to trivia as if they care or if they even... want that to ever come to fruition?
Let me ask you this. If we actually did it for real, do you think we'd have a fighting chance?
When it came to sports, potentially. Outside of that, you absolutely would get rinsed.
No, he's pretty smart.
Well, like, I get that he's very smart. But
and I can come up with a nugget here or there.
The thing is, I'm an idiot savant. Like, you know, pop culture and stuff, we could run the table. Sports and stuff.
Yes.
There's a couple of other things. But if it got into, like, politics, if it got into world events, if it got into geography.
Right.
But the reality is they have way more at stake. Lisa and Michelle would have way more at stake. That's why they would never accept that invitation.
Yeah.
Because if they don't basically skunk us, like, if we get on the board, it's a failure.
If you score one goal,
if we get one point.
Yeah.
If we lose 10-1,
and there's only one person that would show no bias to come up with the questions. Al's brother.
No.
It's Al's brother.
That's a good point.
Who else would do it?
It would have to be somebody who's neutral.
No. Grappler's saying
he's not neutral. He works with the show.
No. I'm saying I approve of Al's brother doing it because it saves me from having to do it.
There you go.
Okay.
And actually, the WCHA, it's a big league.
Bowling Green,
Green, Ferris State, Lake Superior State, Michigan Tech, Michigan State, Northern.
Oh, so it's Mike Johnson then.
Could be Mike Johnson.
Yeah, is it college? Anyway,
yes, it's college.
It's a dumb clue.
All right, Ray Ferraro will join us in about 10 minutes. His take on the state of the Leafs, the state of the Flames, the Hall of Fame tonight. Some people looking towards next year, where Jerome McGinley will be on the ballot.
Oh, he's
lock first ballot lock. Guy. Shane Doan on the ballot, though. Doan is a little bit different because
he's Canada's hero, but I don't know if the numbers support.
Yeah, I don't think of him as a Hall of Famer. Doesn't mean he won't get in. He doesn't scream Hall of Fame.
McGinley's a lock. McGinley's a lock. Doan is closer. It's a judgment call. There'll be people that'll argue for it, people that'll argue against it.
Right. Well, we'll see. All right, so we'll get back into Mike Babcock and what he had to say today, the state of the Maple Leafs, week 11 in the NFL, the Monday nighter tonight. Also, the Grey Cup is set. Our boy Milt Stegall will join us.
In studio?
I doubt that.
No.
But anyway, we'll see. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.
This hour has been brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.